The Dead Sea Scrolls predicted this moment 2,000 years ago. Imagine discovering ancient texts hidden for nearly two millennia that contain precise calculations about events that are happening right now. In 1947, a Bedouin shepherd found scrolls that would forever change our understanding of Bible prophecy. Written by a community called the Essenes, these documents not only predicted the coming of the Messiah with mathematical precision, they also laid out a prophetic timetable that points directly to our day. What you're about to discover will blow your mind. It was an ordinary day in 1947. A young Bedouin shepherd named Muhammad ed-Dib was searching for a lost goat in the rocky cliffs of Qumran, near the Dead Sea. The landscape was barren and unforgiving, the kind of place where secrets can lie buried undisturbed for millennia. As he climbed over rocks under the merciless desert sun, he spotted an opening to a cave high in the cliff face. Thinking his goat might have taken refuge inside, he picked up a rock and threw it into the darkness. What he heard stopped him in his tracks. It wasn't the sound of his goat's hooting that met his ears, but the unmistakable sound of shattering pottery. That sound would change biblical archaeology forever. When Muhammad finally made it into the cave, he found large clay jars, each carefully sealed. Inside those jars were scrolls, ancient manuscripts wrapped in linen, preserved by the dry desert air for nearly 2,000 years. The young shepherd had no idea the magnitude of what he had found, but he knew it was very, very old. Word spread quickly through the region. More caves were discovered. More scrolls were found. When scholars were finally able to examine these manuscripts, they realized that they were looking at the greatest archaeological discovery of the 20th century, possibly the greatest of all time. But here's what will really shock you about the timing of this discovery. These scrolls were found in 1947, exactly 1 year before Israel became a nation again in 1948. After nearly 2,000 years of exile, the Jewish people were about to return to their promised land. And just before that happened, the desert gave up its most precious secrets. Coincidence? I don't believe it for a moment. The Essenes were the ones who hid these scrolls, but they weren't just another Jewish sect. They were a community of prophetic watchers living in the desert, fully convinced that they were living in the final chapter of human history. These weren't armchair theologians or casual students of scripture. They were radical believers who had separated themselves from mainstream Judaism because they believed the end times were near. They lived in caves, practiced strict discipline, and studied prophecy day and night. And here's the part that should give you the chills. They believed that God had given them a special revelation, a unique calendar system that would reveal the exact timing of the coming of the Messiah and the end of the world. Think about that for a moment. While the rest of the Jewish world went about their daily lives, the Essenes were essentially operating a prophetic research center in the desert. They were watching, calculating, and waiting. They hid these scrolls in AD 68, just 2 years before the Romans destroyed Jerusalem and scattered the Jewish people throughout the land. It's almost as if they had a supernatural sense of what was coming. It was as if they knew that their time was up, that their community was about to be wiped out, but they had something absolutely critical to preserve for future generations. For us, they carefully wrapped up their most precious manuscripts, including their prophetic calendar and their calculations about the coming of the Messiah, and sealed them in jars. Then they hid them in caves, trusting that somehow, some way, God would make sure the right people would find them at exactly the right time. And that's exactly what happened in 1947, on the very eve of Israel's rebirth. These ancient warnings came to the surface. These prophetic calculations emerged from their 2,000-year hiding place, just as the final countdown was beginning. This calendar doesn't just record time, it predicts destiny. But here comes the question that will haunt us throughout this study. What exactly were the Essenes predicting that was so important that they risked everything to preserve it? To truly understand the significance of what we find in those caves at Qumran, we need to know exactly who the Essenes were, because they weren't just another Jewish religious group trying to interpret scripture. They were something far more extraordinary. The Essenes saw themselves as the true guardians of God's prophetic secrets. They believed that conventional Judaism had become corrupt, that the Pharisees and Sadducees had lost genuine revelation, and that they were the only ones who truly understood the times in which they lived. Imagine the situation. We're talking about the period between the 2nd century BCE and the 1st century CE. Israel was under Roman occupation. The temple in Jerusalem was functioning. But many devout Jews felt that something fundamental was wrong with the religious system. In the midst of this spiritual crisis, this radical community emerged that decided to separate itself completely from conventional Jewish society. They went into the desert, established their own communities, and developed their own interpretations of Bible prophecy. But here's the fascinating part. The Essenes were not just scholars of scripture, they were prophetic mathematicians. They believed that God had encoded the secrets of prophetic timing into the very fabric of creation and that if they could decipher that code, they would be able to accurately predict when major events in human history would occur. Their method was completely different from that of traditional Judaism, whereas conventional Jews followed a lunar calendar based on the cycles of the moon. The Essenes developed a solar calendar based on the movement of the sun. Why was this difference so important? Because they believed that the lunar calendar had been corrupted by pagan influences. Remember that many ancient cultures worshipped the moon as a deity. The Essenes argued that God's true calendar, the calendar he had established since creation, was solar. Their calendar had exactly 364 days divided into perfect weeks, with each year ending on the same day of the week. But this wasn't just a different way of keeping track of appointments and holy days, it was their prophetic clock for understanding the entire chronology of human history. The Essenes believed that this calendar would reveal not only when the Messiah would come, but also when the world as we know it would end. To them, time was not simply a sequence of days and years. Time was prophetic. Each period had divine significance. They lived with an intensity that is hard to fathom. Each day, each week, each year was studied not just as time passing, but as evidence of God's unfolding plan. They rose before dawn to pray and study. They spent hours copying and recopying scripture. They developed detailed commentaries on the prophets, but their chief obsession was calculation. They believed they could determine mathematically when God would intervene in human history, and by their calculations they were living in the last days before that divine intervention. This mindset explains why they were so careful to preserve their records. They were not simply saving religious texts for future generations. They were preserving what they believed to be God's secret codes for understanding the exact timing of end-time events. When the Romans moved to destroy their community in 68 AD, the Essenes knew their time was up, but they also knew their calculations were too important to lose, so they hid them away, hoping that someone in the future, at the right time, would find them and understand their significance. And that's exactly what happened in 1947, when Muhammad found those jars in the cave. Now we get to the heart of what makes the Essene calendar so extraordinary. Because when most people think of ancient calendars, they assume they're all basically the same, just different ways of counting days and months. But what scholars found in those caves at Qumran wasn't just another calendar, it was something revolutionary that would completely change how we understand prophetic time. The traditional Jewish calendar, the one most people are familiar with, follows lunar months. It's based on the cycles of the moon with 354 days in a year. It's the calendar that determines when Passover falls, when the Day of Atonement occurs, when the feasts occur. It's ancient, it's biblical, and it's been used for thousands of years, but the Essenes rejected this system completely. Instead, they followed a solar calendar, 364 days divided into perfect weeks, with each year ending on the same day of the week. Why was this difference so crucial to them? Because they believed that the lunar calendar had been influenced by pagan traditions. Many ancient cultures worshipped the moon as a deity, and the Essenes argued that following a lunar calendar was, in a sense, submitting to incorrect spiritual influences. Their 364-day solar calendar was perfectly divisible, 52 exact weeks, 4 seasons of 90 and 1 days each, 12 months of 30 days, plus 4 additional days that mark the solstices and equinoxes. But here's what makes this absolutely incredible. For the Essenes, this wasn't just a more accurate way of keeping time, it was their prophetic clock for understanding the entire chronology of human history. They called their system the Calendar of Light because they believed it revealed God's hidden plan from the foundation of the world. At the heart of this system were what they called sabbatical cycles, 7-year periods. This concept comes straight from the Bible. In Leviticus chapter 25, verses 3 and 4, God commanded, 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its produce. But in the 7th year there shall be a Sabbath rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall not sow your field or prune your vineyard. But here's where the Essenes took this to a whole other level. They grouped 7 of these sabbatical cycles together to create something called a Jubilee, a 50-year period. According to Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10, "And you shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. That year shall be a jubilee to you, and you shall return each of you to his possession, and each of you to his family." Conventional Judaism understood these as agricultural and economic cycles, but the Essenes saw something much deeper. They believed that these jubilee cycles were God's way of structuring all of human history into prophetic periods. Think about it. Every 50 years a major reset. Every 50 years a time of deliverance and restoration. Every 50 years a divine intervention in human affairs. And specific jubilees would mark the most momentous events in history, including both the first coming of the Messiah and his return. The Essenes developed what Bible scholars now call the Four Ages chronology. They divided all of human history into 4 distinct prophetic epochs. The Age of Chaos. From Adam to Abraham, 2,000 years of humanity learning the hard way that life without God leads to destruction. Think Cain and Abel. Think the Flood. Think the Tower of Babel, chaos and rebellion against God's order. The Age of the Torah, from Abraham to Jesus, 2,000 years of God, establishing His law, His covenant, His chosen people. This is the age of Moses, of David, of the prophets, the age where God revealed His standards and showed humanity that even with the law we could not save ourselves. The age of grace, from Jesus to His second coming, 2,000 years of the gospel, going to all nations. This is the age of the church, the age we are living in right now, the age where salvation is freely offered to anyone who will believe. The age of the kingdom, the final 1,000 years when Christ rules the earth in perfect peace and righteousness. What is absolutely astonishing about this chronology is that the Essenes believed that each era would be exactly 2,000 years long, 3 eras of 2,000 years each, followed by a final 1,000 years of Sabbath rest, a total of 7,000 years of human history, perfectly mirroring the 7 days of creation. And they believed that the transitions between these eras would be marked by specific jubilee cycles that could be calculated in advance. But here's the part that's going to shock you. According to their calculations, We're not simply living somewhere in the middle of the age of grace, we're living at the very end of it. Now we've come to the point where everything starts to fit together in a way that's going to completely change how you view human history. Because what the Essenes discovered wasn't simply a different calendar system, it was the divine blueprint for all of time itself. To truly understand what we're discussing, we need to delve deeper into their concept of jubilees and why they believe these 50-year periods were so crucial to understanding God's plan. The concept of jubilee comes straight from the heart of the Mosaic Law, but the Essenes took it far beyond its original agricultural and economic application. To them, jubilee was a window into God's operating methods in human history. Leviticus chapter 25 gives us the basic instructions. Every 50 years, debts were canceled, slaves were freed, and land was returned to its original owners. It was a massive reset of the economic system, an acknowledgement that God alone was the true owner of everything. But imagine how this worked in practice. A person could spend decades working to pay off a debt, knowing that in the year of Jubilee that debt would be completely canceled. A family could lose their family inheritance due to economic hardship, but they knew that in the Jubilee the land would return to them. It was a system that recognized both the reality of human suffering and the hope of divine restoration. It was both temporal and eternal. At the same time, the Essenes saw something much larger in this pattern. They believed that just as God had established jubilees for Israel every 50 years, He had established jubilees for all humanity at specific intervals throughout history. Their research into the scriptures led them to identify patterns that connected major historical events to these 50-year cycles. I'm not talking about random coincidences, I'm talking about prophetic timing that defied natural explanation. For example, from the Exodus from Egypt to the dedication of Solomon's first temple, they calculated exactly 10 jubilees from the temple's construction to its destruction by Babylon. Another 10 jubilees from the return from exile to the coming of the Messiah, more perfect cycles. It was as if God had built a divine metronome into the very fabric of history, and the Essenes had figured out how to read that rhythm. But here's what makes this truly extraordinary. The Essenes not only identified these patterns in the past, they used these patterns to predict future events, and their predictions about the first coming of the Messiah proved to be uncannily accurate. In their calculations, certain jubilees would be more significant than others. There would be jubilees of deliverance, jubilees of restoration, and jubilees of judgment, but there would be one jubilee that would be unlike any other. The final jubilee, the last 50-year cycle before the establishment of God's eternal kingdom. They believed that this final jubilee would be preceded by unmistakable signs. There would be a physical restoration of the Jewish people to their land, but there would also be a period of intense suffering and confusion in the world. There would be technological advances that would allow for global control, but there would also be a spiritual awakening among the faithful. And at the end of this final jubilee would come what they called the Great Deliverance. Not just the cancellation of economic debts or the liberation of human slaves, but the final liberation of humanity from sin, death, and the reign of Satan. It was a concept that connected the 50-year cycle set forth in Leviticus with the eschatological promises of the prophets concerning the Messianic kingdom. The final jubilee would not be just another economic reset, it would be the final reset of all creation. According to their calculations, this final jubilee would begin at a specific point in history that could be determined mathematically. And all the evidence suggests that they believe that point to be within their own historical horizon or shortly after it. That is why they preserved their calculations so carefully. They were not simply recording their theological theories for posterity. They were preserving what they believed to be vital information for the generations who would live during the final jubilee. And when we connect their calculations with the timing of modern events, especially the rebirth of Israel in 1948, the numbers become absolutely astonishing. Now we come to one of the most striking revelations of the Essene manuscripts, their vision of human history divided into four perfectly structured ages. This wasn't just ancient theological speculation, it was a prophetic system that has demonstrated an accuracy that defies casual explanation. The Essenes believe that God designed human history to unfold over exactly 7,000 years. Before you dismiss this as ancient speculation, understand that this wasn't just Essene theology. This was confirmed by the early church fathers, men who lived close enough to the apostolic era to understand things we might have forgotten. Where does this 7,000-year chronology come from? It comes from the very structure of creation. Think about it. God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. That's not just a pretty story about the divine balance between work and rest. It's a prophetic template for all of human history, and the Bible gives us the key to decoding it. In Psalm chapter 90, verse 4, Moses writes, "For 1,000 years in your sight are as yesterday that is past, and as one watch of the night." And the Apostle Peter, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, reinforces this in 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 8. "But, beloved, do not be ignorant of this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." Do you see what's happening here? God is not limited by our human understanding of time. From his eternal perspective, each day of creation represents a 1,000-year epoch of human history. So if each of God's days represents 1,000 years of human history, we get this amazing chronology. Day 1, years 1 through 1,000. From Adam to Noah, the age of innocence ending in judgment. This is the time when humanity learned its first hard lessons about the consequences of sin. The fratricide of Cain, the corruption that led to the flood, the demonstration that the human heart, without the grace of God, inevitably leans toward destruction. Day 2, 1001 to 2000, from Noah to Abraham, the era of consciousness and the beginning of the covenant. After the flood, God established a new beginning with humanity, the building of the ark, the rainbow as a sign, but also the Tower of Babel as evidence that the human heart was still rebellious. Day 3, years 2001 to 3000, from Abraham to Moses, the establishment of God's chosen people. This is the era of the patriarchs. When God began to reveal his plan of redemption through a specific family line, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 sons of Israel, the beginning of the nation that would be the vehicle for the coming of the Messiah. Day 4, years 3000, 1 to 4000, from Moses to Christ, the age of the law and prophetic preparation. The Exodus, Sinai, the entrance into the Promised Land, the Kingdom of David, Solomon's Temple, the prophets who announce the coming of the Messiah, all setting the stage for the arrival of Jesus. Day 5, years 4001 to 5000, the early church, the gospel spread to the Gentiles, the apostles, the expansion of Christianity throughout the Roman Empire, the church fathers, the period when the good news began to reach all nations. Day 6, years 5001 to 6000, the culmination of the church age. This is where we are. The final period, before the return of Christ, when the gospel reaches the ends of the earth, but also when apostasy and tribulation increase. Day 7, AD 6001 to 7000, the millennial kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of Christ, the era when Christ rules the earth in perfect peace and righteousness, fulfilling all the prophetic promises about the messianic kingdom. What makes this absolutely incredible is the precision with which this pattern has unfolded historically. When you calculate the dates using biblical genealogies and established historical chronologies, the numbers line up in a way that defies any casual explanation. According to this system, Abraham was born about the year 2000 from creation. Moses received the law about the year 2500, The first temple was built about the year 3000. The Babylonian exile occurred about the year 3400. The return from exile occurred about the year 3500, and Jesus was born about the year 4000 from creation, exactly at the end of the fourth prophetic day, just as the fifth day was beginning. If this chronology is accurate, we are living in the final years of the prophetic sixth day. We are in the final moments before the seventh day, the millennium of peace, when Christ will reign on earth. The Essenes understood this. That is why they lived with such intensity, that is why they studied prophecy with such passion. They knew they were living in the last moments of the sixth day, just before the dawn of the seventh. Now we come to the moment that changes everything. The moment that proves the Essenes were not just religious dreamers living in caves. They were prophetic mathematicians who had cracked God's code for the timing of the Messiah's arrival. Among the Dead Sea Scrolls is a fragmentary text that archaeologists have labeled 11K Melchizedek. It is written in Hebrew and Aramaic, dating to approximately 100 years before Christ was born. And what this ancient document reveals will leave you completely shocked. The scroll describes a mysterious figure called the Anointed One, the Messiah, who would arrive during a specific Jubilee year. But this is not some vague prophecy of some day in the future. This is precise prophetic mathematics. According to 11K Melchizedek, this Messiah would come to accomplish very specific things. Proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to the prisoners. Proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and comfort to all who mourn. If these words sound familiar, they should, because they are taken directly from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. But here's what makes this absolutely incredible. The Essenes connected these messianic promises specifically with the Jubilee system. They believed that the Messiah would arrive during a Jubilee year to inaugurate the ultimate liberation, not just of Israel, but of all humanity. They were watching, calculating, waiting for the exact Jubilee when the prophecy would be fulfilled. And then it happened. Fast forward about 100 years from when 11K Melchizedek was written, a carpenter's son from Nazareth begins his public ministry. His name is Jesus, and the first recorded act of his ministry is walking into the synagogue in his hometown and asking for the scroll of Isaiah. Picture the scene. It's a Sabbath day. The synagogue is packed. Jesus, who's been growing up in this community for 30 years, stands up to read, and they hand him the scroll of Isaiah, and he deliberately unrolls it to chapter 61. Then, in front of everyone who knew him since he was a little boy, he reads these exact words: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and recovery of sight for the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." The synagogue falls deadly silent, all eyes fixed on him. And then Jesus does something that sends shockwaves through that room and through history itself. He rolls up the scroll, hands it back to the attendant, sits down and says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Do you understand what had just happened? Jesus was not simply claiming to be a prophet, he was not simply claiming to be a teacher. He was announcing that he was the Anointed One, the Messiah, that the Essenes had been counting on and waiting for. And he was declaring that this was the exact year of Jubilee that the ancient scrolls had predicted. But here's the part that's going to shock you. When Jesus said, "Preach the acceptable year of the Lord," he was using technical Jubilee language. The acceptable year wasn't just any year, it was the year of Jubilee. The year of deliverance and restoration that came every 50 years. Jesus was announcing that he was ushering in the ultimate Jubilee, not just a temporary economic reset that would happen every half century, but the final, eternal deliverance from sin, death, and the reign of Satan. And the reaction in that synagogue tells you everything you need to know about how shocking this statement was. Luke chapter 4, 28-29 tells us, "When they heard these things, they were filled with rage, and they rose up, threw him out of the city, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, in order to throw him down the cliff. They tried to kill him on the spot, because they understood exactly what he was saying. But here's what makes this even more incredible. According to the research of biblical chronologists like Josh Peck, when you work backward from established historical dates and apply the Essene calendar system, Jesus began his ministry in what would have been a Jubilee year. According to their calculations, the timing was perfect, prophetically perfect. The very scrolls that predicted the Messiah would come during a Jubilee to proclaim freedom and liberation were hidden just decades after Jesus did exactly that. The Essenes who timed his coming were scattered when Rome destroyed their community, but their calculations, their prophetic chronology, were preserved. In caves, waiting for the right moment to be revealed. Jesus came on time the first time, how about the second? Because if the Essene calendar was accurate about the timing of his first coming, if their Jubilee calculations successfully predicted when the Messiah would arrive to proclaim the ultimate year of deliverance, then what does their calendar say about his second coming? That's what's going to shock you next. This is where it all comes together perfectly, where the ancient pieces of God's prophetic puzzle align in a way that's going to completely transform how you view human history. Because what the Essenes discovered wasn't just a calendar system, it was the divine blueprint for all of time itself. Let me show you the pattern that's been hiding in plain sight for thousands of years. The Essenes believed, and here's the crucial part, that God designed human history to unfold over exactly 7,000 years. Before you dismiss this as ancient speculation, understand that this wasn't just Essene theology. This was confirmed by the Church Fathers. Primitive men who lived close enough to the apostolic era to understand things we might have forgotten. But where does this 7,000-year chronology come from? It comes from the very structure of creation. Think about it. God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. That's not just a pretty story about the divine balance between work and rest. It's a prophetic template for all of human history, and the Bible gives us the key to decoding it. In Psalm chapter 90, verse 4, Moses writes, "For 1,000 years in your eyes are like yesterday that is past, and like one watch of the night." Quote, and the Apostle Peter, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, reinforces this in 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 8. "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." Do you see what's going on here? God is not limited by our human understanding of time. From his eternal perspective, each day of creation represents 1,000-year epoch of human history. God's days are not like ours, they span millennia. And if we apply this prophetic key to the week of creation, we have a perfect map of human history, from Adam to the eternal kingdom. Day 1 of creation, years 1 to 1000 of human history, from Adam to the flood, the era of lost innocence and divine judgment. This is when humanity learned its first hard lessons about the consequences of sin. Day 2, years 1001 to 2000, from Noah to Abraham, the age of conscience and the early covenants. After the flood, God established a new beginning. But we also saw the Tower of Babel as evidence that the human heart was still rebellious. Day 3, the years 2001 to 3000, from Abraham to the United Kingdom of Israel, the age of promise and law, the patriarchs, the Exodus, the conquest of Canaan, the establishment of the kingdom under David and Solomon. Day 4, the years 3001 to 4000, from the divided kingdom to Christ, the age of the prophets and the messianic preparation. The prophets announce the coming of the Messiah, Babylon and the exile, the return and the rebuilding. Day 5, the years 4001 to 5000, the apostolic age and the early church, when the gospel first spread beyond Israel to all nations. Day 6, the years 5001 to 6000, the church age, culminating, where we are now. The final period of preparation before Christ returns. Day 7, the year 6001 to 7000, the millennium, the 1000-year reign of Christ on earth. What makes this absolutely astonishing is the precision with which this pattern has played out historically. When you calculate the dates using biblical genealogies and established historical chronologies, the numbers line up in a way that defies any chance explanation. According to various systems of biblical reckoning, we are living in approximately the year 6000 from the creation of Adam. We are in the final moments of the prophetic sixth day, just before the dawn of the seventh day, the millennium of peace. If this chronology is accurate, and there is compelling evidence that it is, then we are not simply living in some random period of history. We are living in the final moments of God's sixth day, on the eve of the seventh day, when Christ will return to establish his kingdom on earth. The Essenes understood this. That's why they lived with such intensity. That's why they studied prophecy with such passion. They knew that they were living near the end of the sixth day, just before the most important transition in all of human history. And when you connect the 7,000-year chronology with the 6-year Jubilee system, you get something that is going to completely change how you understand the times in which we are living. Because if we are truly living in the final years of the prophetic sixth day, then the events that we are seeing now are not random. They are the final preparation, the last-minute placement of all the pieces before the final act of human history begins to unfold. And here comes something that is going to absolutely shock you about the timing of the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Something so prophetically precise that it defies any explanation other than divine orchestration. They were found in 1947. Exactly 1 year before Israel became a nation again in 1948. Think about that for a moment. After almost 2,000 years in exile, scattered across every continent on earth, persecuted in every generation, surviving the Crusades, the Inquisition, the pogroms, the Jewish people returned to their ancestral homeland against all odds, against all human probability, against all historical precedent for a people group to survive this long without a homeland. But here comes the prophetic detail that most people completely miss. Israel returned in unbelief, exactly as the scripture predicted they would. You see, the prophet Ezekiel received one of the most remarkable visions in all of scripture. A vision that perfectly describes what we are witnessing in the 20th century. In Ezekiel chapter 37, God shows the prophet a valley full of dry bones, bones that had been scattered, lifeless, hopeless for a long, long time. Then God speaks, prophesies over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you. And you shall live, and I will put sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Then Ezekiel prophesies, and something extraordinary happens. Verses 7 and 8, So I prophesied as I was commanded, and there was a noise as I prophesied, and behold, a tremor, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were upon them, and flesh came up, and skin covered them over them, but there was no breath in them. Do you see what is happening here? The bones come together, the bodies are formed, the physical restoration happens first, but still there is no spiritual life, no breath, no recognition of God. This is exactly what happened to Israel in 1948. The physical restoration came first. The dry bones of the Jewish people, scattered all over the world, were brought together in their ancestral home. The nation was rebuilt, the language was revived, the army was established, the economy flourished, but spiritually as a nation they still have not recognized Jesus as their Messiah. They are physically restored, but spiritually asleep. The physical return of Israel before the spiritual revival. But Ezekiel's vision does not end there. In verses 9 and 10, God says, "And he said unto me, Prophesy to the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, O wind, bind the four winds, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. And I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army." Breath comes after physical restoration. Spiritual awakening follows the return to earth, and according to Bible prophecy, that spiritual awakening is still future. It will happen during events that are still ahead of us. But here's what makes the timing of the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls so absolutely remarkable. These ancient texts containing the calendar system that signaled the first coming of the Messiah were revealed from their 2,000-year hiding place at the exact moment when Israel was about to be physically restored. It's almost as if God were saying, the dry bones are about to come together, the physical restoration is about to begin, and here are the ancient calculations that will help you understand the spiritual restoration that is coming. The scrolls emerged just as the first phase of Ezekiel's prophecy was being fulfilled, just as the bones were shaking and coming together, just as the impossible was about to become a reality. But there's another layer to this that will shock you. According to multiple Bible prophecies, Israel's spiritual awakening, the moment when the breath of God enters the physically restored nation, will occur in connection with dramatic end-time events. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, describes it this way, "I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication, and they will look on me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn." This is not just a quiet individual conversion experience. This is a national recognition of Jesus as the Messiah they rejected 2,000 years ago. A corporate repentance so profound that the entire nation mourns as if they have lost their firstborn son. And according to Bible chronology, this spiritual awakening of Israel is directly connected to the end-time events surrounding the second coming of Christ. Romans chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 puts it this way, "For I do not want you, brethren, to be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And then all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion, and will turn ungodliness away from Jacob." Do you see the chronology here? Israel's spiritual blindness continues until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. This means that the physical restoration of Israel in 1948 was just the beginning. The first phase, the dry bones coming together, but the breath, the spiritual life is still coming, and according to prophetic chronology, it is connected to the exact events that the Essene calendar may be pointing us to. Now we come to the moment where everything converges, where ancient prophecy meets modern reality, where 2,000-year-old calculations collide with 21st-century headlines, and where you have to make a decision about what you really believe is going on in the world around you. But before I share what the chronology suggests about the years ahead, let me be absolutely clear about something that is non-negotiable. I am not setting dates. The Bible is emphatic about this. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." And in Acts 1, verse 7, when the disciples asked Jesus about the timing, he said to them, "Is it not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power?" So what I'm about to share with you is not doctrine, it's discernment, it's not certainty, it's careful observation, it's not prediction, it's pattern recognition based on prophetic mathematics that has proven accurate once before. We don't set dates, but we do observe the seasons. We're supposed to pay attention. We're supposed to recognize when prophetic signs are converging. We're supposed to understand the times in which we're living. So with that biblical foundation firmly in place, let me walk with you through what the Essene calendar chronology suggests about the years ahead, not as definitive prophecy, but as a framework for understanding the potential significance of the time period that we may be entering. When Jesus walked this earth, his disciples asked him a direct question about the signs of his coming and the end of the world. And his answer in Matthew chapter 24 should be familiar to anyone paying attention to current world events. In verses 6 through 8, he said to them, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pangs, the first pangs of labor that signal that something massive is about to be born. But here comes the part that should stop you dead in your tracks. If the Essene calendar is accurate, if 2026 marks the beginning of the final Jubilee cycle, then what we are experiencing in 2025 is not random chaos. It is not simply the world falling apart for no reason. It is the final preparation, the last-minute positioning, the prophetic alignment of all the pieces before the final act of human history begins to unfold. Think about it. Every major prophetic sign that Jesus described is already in place or rapidly unfolding. Israel is back in her land. Jerusalem is under Jewish control. The technology for global surveillance, global communication, and global economic control exists right now. The spiritual conditions, deception, apostasy, false signs, and wonders are accelerating at breakneck speed. And according to the ancient calendar hidden in caves for 2,000 years, it is all happening exactly on schedule. We are not simply observing random world events. We could be watching the final preparation before the last prophetic cycle of human history begins. But here's what will shock you even more about this timeline. If 2026 marks the beginning of the final Jubilee, it does not mean we have 50 peaceful years ahead of us. The Essenes understood that this final cycle would be unlike any other in human history. It would be a period of increasing intensity, building toward the most significant 7 years in world history. Because according to this chronology, those 7 years would not occur at the beginning of the final Jubilee, they would occur at the end, the final 7 years of the 50-year cycle, culminating in the return of Christ and the establishment of his 1,000-year kingdom on earth. If this interpretation is correct, we are living in the preparation years, the decades of increasing intensity, escalating global crisis, advancing technology, growing deception, and mounting pressure that will set the stage for the final 7-year period. During these years, we would expect to see the continued development of global surveillance and control systems, the emergence of technologies that could enable a one-world economic system, increasing natural disasters and signs in the heavens, increasing spiritual deception and the rise of false messiahs, and the positioning of nations for the final conflict. We have now come to the moment that will change everything you thought about the time in which we live, for what I am about to reveal to you is not modern speculation or recent theological theory. It is the product of calculations that were made over 2,000 years ago by a community that dedicated their entire lives to deciphering God's prophetic codes. If the Essene calendar is correct, if its prophetic mathematics is as accurate for future events as it was for the first coming of the Messiah, then we stand on the threshold of the most significant period in all of human history. ...2026 would not be just another year on the calendar, it would be the beginning of what the Essenes called the Final Jubilee, a 50-year cycle that would run from 2026 to 2075, culminating in the second coming of Christ and the establishment of his 1,000-year kingdom on earth in 2076. This is not just a number, it could be a countdown, but before you think that this sounds too precise, too specific, too much like date setting, understand what we are really talking about. We are not talking about some random prediction or modern speculation. We're talking about a calendar system that was already ancient when Jesus walked the earth. A system that was calculated by Jewish scholars who lived and breathed Bible prophecy every single day of their lives. But here's what makes this absolutely incredible. Look around you, look at what's happening in 2025. Does any of this sound familiar? Because these are the exact conditions that Jesus described when his disciples asked him about the signs of his coming and the end of the world. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 through 8, he said, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pangs, the first pangs of labor that signal that something massive is about to be born." But here's the part that should stop you in your tracks. If the Essene calendar is accurate, if 2026 marks the beginning of the final Jubilee cycle, then what we are experiencing in 2025 is not random chaos. It is the final preparation, the last-minute positioning, the prophetic alignment of all the pieces before the final act of human history begins to unfold. Think about it. Every major prophetic sign that Jesus described is either already in place or rapidly unfolding. Israel is back in her land. Jerusalem is under control. Jewish. The technology for global surveillance, global communication, and global economic control exists right now. The spiritual conditions for deception, apostasy, false signs, and wonders are accelerating at breakneck speed. And according to the ancient calendar hidden in caves for 2,000 years, everything is happening exactly according to schedule. The Essenes understood that this final cycle would be unlike any other in human history. It would be a period of increasing intensity, building toward the most significant 7 years in world history. And that brings us to something that will shock you even more, the potential timing of the 7-year tribulation period that Jesus called the worst time in human history. Because according to this chronology, those 7 years would not occur at the beginning of the final Jubilee. They would occur at the end. If this interpretation is correct, the years from 2026 to approximately 2068 would be years of preparation, decades of increasing intensity, escalating global crisis, technological advancement, growing deception, and mounting pressure that would set the stage for the final 7-year period. The last 7 years of the Jubilee, from 2069 to 2075, would be the years of tribulation that Scripture describes as having no parallel in human history. And then, in 2076, the return of Christ and the beginning of the millennial kingdom. Now, let me be absolutely clear. I am not predicting that these events will definitely happen on these dates. I am presenting what is suggested by a prophetic calculation that has demonstrated remarkable historical accuracy. The only date we can know with certainty is that Jesus Christ will return. The exact timing remains in the hands of the Father, but we are told to watch the seasons, to recognize the signs, to understand the times. And when you look at the events of our world through the lens of the Essene prophetic calendar, the patterns become impossible to ignore. Whether these specific calculations are accurate or not, one thing is certain. We are living in extraordinary times. The events that are unfolding around us are not random. They are part of a plan that has been in motion since the foundation of the world. The Dead Sea Scrolls have spoken. Their message has waited 2,000 years to be revealed, and that message is simple yet profound. Time is running out. God's plan is unfolding, and those who have eyes to see can recognize the signs of His coming. The question is not if these events will happen. The question is, will we be ready when they do? Yeah.